Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back onto another edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown on a bit of a vacation, so we're digging into the archives once again today. And this is, I think it was, funnily enough, the first interview I ever did for the Kona Edge. And it's a pretty cool story and a bit of sort of adding on to it. So I spoke to our guest, who's Garen Mosley, today after his first visit to the Big Island. Garen has subsequently gone back and done phenomenally well. He won his age group here at Ironman South Africa, I think it was last year or the year before, and then went back and raced, and really raced hard on the Big Island, put in a pretty impressive performance. I know he's still racing, got some big goals as well. So I know he listens to the podcast. Garen, best of luck for the upcoming season. I know you are working hard right now so that you can have a good year in 2018. Before we get into Garen's story, don't forget the entry for the Ironman that I'm giving away here at the Kona Edge. Entries close in just a few days' time. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/win. That's thekonaedge.com/win to get your name into the hat. Fingers crossed, it could be you. So you're not in it, you can't win it. Go check out that URL right now. It's thekonaedge.com/win. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Peak Triathlon Coaching. Peak Triathlon Coaching is a triathlon coaching company helping multi-sport athletes take their training to the next level and achieve their multi-sport goals. All of Peak's coaches are age group athletes themselves, so they understand the challenges of training with full-time jobs, busy family lives, and the other unique dynamics of life. They thrive on helping their athletes optimize their training time and assist with all aspects of the journey to their races. Whether you need help training for your first triathlon, want to tackle a new distance, or want to qualify for Kona, Peak and their experienced staff can help you get there. Over the years, they've helped athletes cross hundreds of Ironman finish lines, helped them achieve all kinds of different goals, including podium finishes in Kona and age group nationals. Based in the US, Peak Triathlon Coaching helps athletes around the world. Their economic pricing makes them an excellent option for athletes of all levels. Head over to peaktricoaching.com now and set up your free consultation to see how they can help you become the best athlete you can be while having fun doing it. You can also head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching to find out more. Garen, welcome. Nice to catch up.
Thanks, Brad. Nice to be on the show.
Garen, that's not an Irish accent. That's a South African accent. You've transplanted yourself into Ireland at the moment. And as we speak, you're heading into winter. And how are you coping with a lot less sun than in South Africa?
Yeah, it's been a big change. I think you need to realize that there's certain changes you need to make to training, and that I certainly found that out this year when I arrived back at 70.3 in no shape at all, let's call it that. It's challenging to get out in the mornings. The roads are icy. I had a nice fall to remind me of that in December last year. But yes, adapting and hopefully we can have a better training through winter this season.
Let's take a few steps back, and before we get into your journey to Kona, let's talk about how you got started in triathlon. Where did your triathlon journey begin, Garen?
Triathlon began in 2009 for myself. I did a 70.3 distance in the Vaal. I think it was the premier event. It was my first triathlon. I had come from one or two comrades at that stage. Basically, I'd say at about 30, I decided my life wasn't going in the direction it should be, and made a few changes around diet and obviously starting to get fit again. But that was generally just what I thought I was good at was running. It was a long road back, and then someone introduced me into the triathlon scene, and as I say, did my first race in 2009. loved it. And from there, it's kind of just grown.
You mentioned comrades, and for people who aren't from South Africa, it's a 56 mile or 89 kilometer ultra marathon here in South Africa. It's pretty tough. And Garen, you mentioned you come from a running background, and you thought you were quite strong in that sense. Growing up, were you always a runner? Were you always athletic, or is this something you've discovered about yourself late on in your life?
Yeah, I started at school. I was mainly swimming. Swimming was my sport at school. I was never great at it, but I was competitive, or tried to be competitive. Did a lot of work in the pool, a lot of early morning sessions, afternoon sessions, and that. As I say, I was never the best at it, but continued to be competitive. And then got into running in high school, cross country, middle distance type things. But unfortunately, I think my first year of university, I had a knee op that was meant to be fairly straightforward, but left me kind of sidelined for 6 or 9 months. And 6 or 9 months in a university situation isn't the greatest thing, because there's obviously other influences, and the party scene and the social scene and that builds. So never really got back into it from there, and then again tried to build a career. So had a running background, and yeah, again, getting back to it at 30 was a challenge. I was 30 kilograms heavier than when I left school. So yeah, it was a long road. There was comrades in the family, so that was the next step, but yeah, I was finishing comrades at that stage.
As a kid growing up in high school, you mentioned the swimming and the running. Were you any good? I mean, was there some ability back then?
I assume I was okay. You know, I got a scroll at school for the athletics and my cross country. So I think it was more that I enjoyed it so much, and I always have enjoyed running. It's my escape from the world. I call it my religion. And yeah, you know, any form of running, I enjoy the cross country. I enjoy the trails. It's just being out there, pushing the body probably too hard at times, but yeah, that's my ultimate love.
2009, you did your first triathlon. Tell me about that experience. Was it love at first sight, or did you think, yeah, this is crazy? Why would anybody want to do three sports in one?
I think it was firstly a challenge. My bike was never good, never has been good. You know, I had no base on a bicycle. And I think 90 kilometers, let alone 180 kilometers, was just a psychological hurdle that I needed to get over. Once I'd done that, I think, yes, it became a love. And certainly from that stage, I went to go and seek things like swim coaches and run coaches and cycle coaches. Joined a guy by the name of Terence Reed. So I think all that progressed from the first one. And yeah, other than the three laps of the run, I loved the whole thing.
Let's talk about the progression from that race to your first Ironman. When did you, can you remember the decision, what it took to make that decision to not just enter your first Ironman, but to actually train and do it?
The entry process is slightly different. Obviously, Ironman has grown over the last couple of years, so you need to enter sort of a year in advance for all these events. So I'd actually entered the 70.3, the East London 70.3 before that. Bought my first wetsuit, got my first tri suit, and I was really, you know, keen for the whole thing. Had done a bit of, additional swim training. done a bit more work on the bike for the 70.3. And everyone turned around after the 70.3 and kind of said to me, you know, you've done the work to get to the 70.3. The bike on the full Ironman is actually easier, or it's an easier course, so you should cope with that. And I kind of looked at it, and I actually entered for the full Ironman, I think 2 or 3 weeks after the 70.3, which I don't think you can do these days anymore. But yeah, that was the decision, and then joined up with MAD Multisport, and Mike took me through my first 220-kilometer bike ride 2 or 3 weeks before. But yeah, I think it was the first one was obviously an experience. It's still the best one I've done. I had a fantastic day. Like the emotions around finishing, and that you can't replace that first time you run down the red carpet. It'll never be the same. There's nothing like it. I did what I wanted to do. So yeah, and from then on, I think the passion just grew.
When did the seed get planted that you thought, you know what, Kona would be a great goal?
Yes, it's interesting. I didn't even my first Ironman, I think I was so nervous and so focused on trying to get over that one event. I didn't know anything about Ironman. I didn't know where it started. I hadn't done the research. Everyone was walking around pointing out pros at the event. I'd never heard of names. You know, I was just there to finish the event. Then afterwards, obviously, there was, you know, more focus into it, looking at the other events around the world. But I didn't realistically think that I could get down to that level. And 2011, I had put in a bit more training. But there wasn't much improvement around the actual results. So yeah, it was only really, I would say, at the end of 2011 that I made a decision to kind of, put some effort in, to see if it was possible, to get a qualifying slot.
It's one thing training for an Ironman just to finish and maybe better your personal best, but it's a totally different thing when the goal is to qualify and get a slot for Kona. What were some of the things you changed? Obviously, you had done a couple before that decision was made to try and give it a bash to see if you could get there. What were some of the things that you changed from your first couple to when you actually really became serious about qualifying for Kona?
I think it was a mindset change. I got rid of all the peripherals. I think Gwen Jorgensen has a very good comment on it. She kind of says focus on the process and not the outcome. And Kona just seemed too big, and the only way I was going to get to it was to make sure that every session that I did was done to the best I could. And that even meant the long, slow runs, the recovery sessions. When I joined Lucy Zelenkova, my current coach, the one thing she did for me was actually slow me down. It made no sense really, but in terms of my training and my recovery and the ability to go and train every day, to do two or three sessions sometimes a day, she had to actually slow me down. I haven't trained with a heart rate monitor or a watch or anything like that for, I would say, the last 2 or 3 years. Purely because every time I trained, it was to try and improve what I was doing. So I think I started listening to my body more than anything else. Again, focused on exactly what I needed to do in the sessions. You spend an awful amount of time training, and you may as well do it correctly.
Garen, I'm fascinated, and I've chatted to a lot of athletes who have qualified for Kona, and I don't think there's one who hasn't looked for help, that thought, you know what, I'm good, I can do this on my own. Every single one has had, and it's not just a coach, but multiple coaches along the way, and it's across the board for all three disciplines, for swimming. A lot of them have picked up specialist swim coaches, specialist bike coaches, and run coaches. Would you say that's one of the big things that's helped you? I mean, how important is it to find not just a coach, but the correct coach for you? Because we're all different, and you need to find someone who clicks and gels with you as an athlete.
Yeah, look, it's essential. And more so because it's not my speciality. I certainly didn't have the experience. I don't understand the science. And you know, my first coach, Terence, brought a lot to my training. He showed me what training was. But I do think, and you know, you come to a stage where you both realize that what you've gained out of a coach, you do need to move forward. And you look at that through the pro athletes and the top age groupers, you do kind of get to a base where you both have to accept that you need to move forward. And I think the logical step was then, to Lucy. Lucy spent a lot of time and a lot of questions on making sure that there would be a fit. You know, she wasn't just going to take me on as an athlete to finish Ironman. She did want me to be competitive. She thought I could be competitive. But she also put down realistic timelines. She made no promises in the first 3 months to say that I'd be able to get to Kona. But she did say if I gave her 18 months, she would get me there. And it was literally spot on 18 months that we qualified. So again, the process, the belief in her, the working together with her, she took time out to adapt my program, which suited me. You know, I'm busy. I'm traveling in and out, and it was and still is a very good relationship I have with her. You know, it's a lifestyle change you're making, and somebody has to understand that lifestyle that you're going into. And yeah, I've been lucky with both my coaches so far.
How important is it to really sell out to a coach that it's a case of, you know what, I'm hiring you as my coach, and I need to trust your judgment and almost submit that it's a case of, you know what, if coach says to me, this is what I need to do today, I might not agree with, but the coach knows better. How important is it to sell out 110% to your coach?
That's the only reason I got to Kona. I made the decision sort of, and I look, again, trust is built. And for the first 6 months, I was up and down, and it was, I'm not sure she's correct in this and all that. But after the 6 months, seeing the progress and everything, it was belief. And literally, I don't think I did anything outside of what she said for the year leading up to Kona. I missed probably two or three sessions out of the 300 sessions that were on the program. You know, we really did work together to make sure that I wasn't injured, I wasn't sick, and touch wood, you know, I had no issues like that, over that year leading up to the Kona qualification.
Let's talk about that year and qualifying for the race and the goals being set. You now doing the work with your coach, Lucy, Zelenkova, and what were some of the challenges you had to overcome? What did you struggle with in that year getting to, because you qualified at Ironman South Africa in Port Elizabeth. What were some of the things you had to overcome?
Time. yeah, time's the biggest issue. I read something from Jodie Swallow a couple of months ago saying that she slept her sleeping was up to 10 or 11 hours a day. As an age group athlete, we just don't have that. We do have to work during the day. And I would love to have been able to take a nap between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, for example, and get up and go and do another session. But there are work commitments and all that sort of thing. So, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have an hour run before you meet the group of runners you've scheduled to run with, and then to run with them for another hour, rush home, have a shower. So I think that was the biggest challenge. And then, you know, just the catch up, you're playing with work all the time. I won't lie, work did suffer, and there were certainly some questions around me not being in the office all the time, but the guys were understanding. They also knew what I was trying to do.
You mentioned that balance and the training and work balance, but I think for a lot of age groupers who qualify for Kona, that is one of the things they grapple with, is getting that balance right. And it's not just a work training, but it's also a personal life and relationships balance. How do you get that balance right, Garen?
Again, it's give and take. Unfortunately, you know, you are giving up certain hours of sleep and rest and that sort of thing, so that you can spend time with friends and family. And, they were also all very understanding. And even the year after Kona, you know, my girlfriend has been more than understanding around training times. But yes, there is the additional time you then spend with them. All my friends, you know, I'd try and make time for them, but they would understand that, you know, I had a cycle in on a Saturday morning for a few hours, so I had to leave the party by 11, 12. Again, it's sacrifices you make. The sacrifices were obviously worth it. I think if you can plan your life and you can plan your time properly, you know, there's not too much that I regret or I've lost out on in that amount of time.
Let's talk about the actual race, where you did qualify Ironman South Africa. Talk me through that day. Was it a case of everything going according to plan, or did things not quite work out the way you wanted to and had planned, and you needed to sort of figure out a plan B as you went? How did things go for you on that day?
It was a perfect day. Got out of the swim on just below the hour mark, which is, again, it's a mental boost, that you're all on track. The transitions were normal. Bike, I tend to warm up on the bike for the first five to 10 Ks. So was happy enough with that. I knew where I had to be. The plan was to get to Kona. It wasn't to do well or brilliantly or whatever in Ironman South Africa. All I needed was a top five position. So anything above that was a bonus. I was waiting for a few people, on the actual cycle to kind of see where I was or kind of judge what position I was in. Unfortunately didn't see them, but then everything changes on the run when you can start seeing people and see where they are in sort of relation to you. It was fairly relaxed on the run. I think I came into the run on about six position in my age group. Lucy unfortunately didn't finish that year. So I think that helped me, because she was on the side of the road, you know, just telling me to relax. Everything was going to plan, and yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better day. The win in the age group was obviously a bonus, but the main focus was the qualification slot. And I think once I realized that was fairly secure, with an endurance event, and it's happened before. I literally have hit walls, where, you know, a kilometer will take you 10, 15 minutes. But, luckily nothing like that happened. And I think because I was so relaxed, because I was running comfortably, Lucy was, you know, encouraging me to actually slow down and make sure that I was getting in enough nutrition. I think because I was so relaxed for the last 14 kilometers, it just ended up a perfect day.
Tell me the what it feels like when that penny drops, when you realize that you've got this in the bag, that the hard work and the sacrifice that you've put in, the weeks, the months of training, and let's be honest, I mean, when it comes to Ironman, the day is tough, but the training that you have to put in is ridiculously hard. Explain to me that feeling when you realize, you know what, I've done it. I'm going to be going to Kona. It's the race is won. I've done what I needed to do. I'm going.
I think, yeah, I was sitting on a chair just after the finish line, and Paul Wolf was walking past, and I like just hugged him and thanked him for almost giving me the opportunity or providing me a race that I could qualify. I think that's when it hit me. You know, it was like, I am going to Kona. It's done. And yeah, that was pretty much it. It's a difficult thing to explain. You know, it is an awesome feeling, but one of relief and one of satisfaction. And you've been thinking about this for 3 or 4 years. And yeah, it was an amazing feeling.
I mean, it's one thing qualifying, but then actually having to go and do the work all over again to race on the Big Island. I mean, that's what you were actually working towards. This was just a stepping stone to get you there. When did that realization hit that you go, you know what? That was the easy bit. Now getting and competing on the Big Island is actually what matters.
Yeah. I think the realization was, you know, the celebrations and all that sort of thing and prize giving and that, but it was pretty soon that I realized, look, you know, you've put in the hard work to get there. It's going to be hard. I may as well give it a full go. So I think within that week, I was on to the coach, the back in Johannesburg, you know, focus had changed again totally then on making sure that when I got to Kona, I was in the best shape I could be, that I'd put in all the work. I was happy enough to be going, but it was almost a reality that I didn't think would happen. So as soon as it had happened, it was grand. Now we're back in. We need to start focusing again, and we'll go from there.
Let's talk about how much did you change in the build up to Kona, from what you did for that qualification race at Ironman South Africa? Was it very similar, or did you adjust your training? Because obviously the course in Kona and the weather conditions in Kona slightly different to what you experienced in South Africa. How much did you change?
I don't believe we changed too much. Lucy would be able to give you the exact details on that, but I think we increased the volume slightly. Again, it's more about consistency. We wanted to go there in good shape, but I didn't need, you know, if we changed anything, and basically we would have been changing a formula that was working. So if we changed anything drastically, you know, there was the chance of injury. There was the chance of, just being exhausted or anything like that. So I think there was a gradual increase in the number of hours, but nothing totally different, you know. The one thing I did do was in about I think it was halfway through May, I made the call that I needed to get to Europe, to Ireland, to actually train through the summer. It was starting to get cold in South Africa. So I made the call then, and everyone said to me, you know, summer in Ireland, you've got two choices. It's either going to rain or you're going to have a good summer. And fortunately for me, it was a good summer. So yeah, was able to train, in Europe in summer. And yeah, I think that's made a huge difference to having stayed in South Africa and training through winter.
You mentioned when with your first Ironman, you hadn't done any research or reading up about the race itself and sort of the history of it and where it all began. Obviously, by the time you got to Kona, you had sort of really bought into the idea of what Ironman and World Championships are all about. Talk to me about when you touched down in Hawaii for the first time and knowing that you hear the best athletes in the world are there with you. What did that feel like?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to spend 4 weeks before the race in Kona itself. So I was able to acclimatize pretty well. Touched down, I think, at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And all I can remember was it was really hot. You know, lugging a bike bag around, trying to find a place to rent a car. I was wet by the time I eventually got into the car. There was a guy on the plane with me who'd done it once or twice. He was also out there for a few weeks. He was saying just how hot it was, how hot and humid it was. So again, it was happy enough to be there. And I think the mind focused fairly quickly on this is a task that we need to, you know, adapt to. We need to get the liquids in. So again, everything around preparation and that was fairly quick. You know, back to reality, we're here to do the world champs, and we need to make sure we're in the best sort of form we can be in.
Talk me through the race itself and the experience of racing at the world champs.
My experience of Kona, like obviously the race was awesome, but my experience of Kona was the lead up, you know, the rides with the pros, or behind the pros, or the pros passing you, the pool sessions where you've been in, you know, you arrive at the pool and Sebastian Keenly is swimming his set. You finish a 1 hour 20 or 1 hour 30 set and Sebastian is still in the pool. So that changed my view on, you know, professional athletes. I've never been involved in that type of setup, but those guys are unbelievable. It's the respect that I have for them, for the intensity, the endurance that they put in their training. Like, that's why they are the best in the world. You know, it was a phenomenal experience to, you know, again, they would be humble enough to have a chat on the bike for 5 minutes and then move on. That was my experience of Kona. The race itself was, again, pretty much like Ironman South Africa. I can't say anything went wrong on the day. I was expecting a slightly faster swim, but yeah, I think it was just over an hour in Kona. The bike was lovely. I had a really, really good bike. And then the run was hot, but the crowds, the place, I think that just lifts you. You know, you are running with some of the best athletes in the world. There are people passing you on the run. It's phenomenal what the age groupers can also do. I was happy enough with the end result, and yeah, as I say, it's an experience that I'll never forget.
Garrett, talk to me. I haven't actually touched on it, but even in when races do go well, there's patches in races where you feel great and there's patches in races where you feel absolutely terrible. What do you do to get out of those dark places and the dark patches to lift yourself to a happy place once again where you're feeling better?
Yeah, I think with the endurance, with the endurance background of doing ultra distance running and that, there's always going to be, as you say, those dark patches, the first 2 kilometers of a run. I think again, it's understanding that the body knows how to do an Ironman. It knows how to do a marathon. It's the belief in your own body that you've got your nutrition correct, that, you know, it's just a period. You've been through so many before and it will come right. I'm not one to push through those periods. I will slow down. I will realize that, you know, the body's obviously lacking something in its nutrition or the absorption hasn't taken place. So yeah, it might take a K or 5 minutes on the bike or whatever to pull through. So I think I've learned not to panic more than anything else. It's the realization that this happens. It does happen every race and it's going to go in cycles. So in the next 2 kilometers, I'll feel on top of the world again. And I think it's just the belief that yes, this is going to change. So, you know, it's just the moment in endurance racing.
You've experienced Kona once. Are you going back?
I'd like to. I've committed to myself though that I do want to qualify in Europe. I want to be competitive if I do go back to Kona. And I think, if I can qualify somewhere like Frankfurt or Mallorca or something like that, I think that gives me a reasonable chance to be competitive. There is a lot of work to be done in order to do that. And for anyone looking to go to Kona for the experience and that there, I do believe there are races that you can pick to qualify in. But as I say, for myself, I've experienced the one race in Kona. It's a bit like Ironman or my first Ironman. You'll only experience it once. So the next time I go, I would like to be competitive and maybe compete for a top 10 spot. But there's a lot of work to be done in order to do that.
Garen, to wrap things up, if I say the word Kona, what do you think?
Yeah, now you've got me. I suppose because, yeah, I have no words. I can tell nobody about I've been through the experience, but you know, that one word Kona, there's so many emotions around it. Happy, sad, it's a hugely, hugely personal thing and a big achievement that I'm proud of in my life. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they'll be proud of you. My parents have been proud of me for what I've done in my life, but Kona is one of those things that I can really say that I'm proud of the achievement of getting to and competing in Kona.
I love that. I think that is amazing. And I get goosebumps just with you saying that. Cause I mean, it's one thing finishing an Ironman and people, like you say, are proud of you, but only you know deep down what it took for you to get there. So I think that's incredible. Garen, thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge today. Much appreciated. And we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks very much, Brad.
Thank you so much for your time today, Garen. Much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed that chat, and I hope you got something out of it. I'd love to get your feedback. Let us know what you thought. If you've got any questions, or if there's an age grouper that you think I should chat to here on the Kona Edge, all you need to do is reach out, okay? You can find us on social media. Just search for the Kona Edge, or you can find me personally. Big Brad Brown is where you'll find me on the Facebook and the Twitter. And I look forward to touching base with you. Don't forget to check out our Facebook group as well. We've got a private Facebook group that's really, really active. So just search for the Kona Edge. Ask to join. We'll approve your request and get in there and start chatting. So look forward to catching up with you on whatever platform you prefer. So until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Nutrition is key to put in world-class performances. Register now for our upcoming free online nutrition seminar on thekonaedge.com/nutritionseminar.
This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor.